Welcome to Heightening Headlines, Improvising the News, the improv comedy news show featuring Ryan Charnocki and Alex Shea. Welcome back to Heightening Headlines, the show where we improvise the news. I am Alec.
And I'm Ryan. That was nice. You should be a voice actor.
Thank you.
How do you do that?
I've been told that before, and I did, and then I stopped getting told that.
Okay, fair enough. We got a good article. I'm so excited for this article.
Yeah, let's get straight into it. Why dilly-dally? Why beat around the bush?
All right. Because I think it's going to be really funny. You're into anime, and I know nothing about anime.
Yes.
And today we have an article about anime.
Yes.
By the way, neither of us have read this article. We know nothing about this topic, and we're learning as you hear this.
We're raw-dogging the article,
as you might say. Don't say that. we are learning today about Ecuador's Otavalo indigenous people use anime to inspire pride in their ancient culture and language. If you are an Otavalo indigenous person, I'm sorry for the pronunciation. Otavalo. We got it. We'll just edit the right one in there.
Yeah.
Otavalo. All right. So, high in the mountains of the Ecuadorian Andes, a group of young Otavalo indigenous people is using anime to inspire pride in their ancient culture and language, especially among Otavalo children. They produced an animated short film titled "We're Aya," that follows the adventure of Aya, a mythical Otavalo warrior, and other characters who interact under the watchful eye of a condor, an iconic bird for Andean indigenous cultures that symbolizes power and energy. Inspired by the work of legendary Japanese animator,
Hayao Miyazaki.
I got it. Okay. Hayao Miyazaki. The story takes place in the mountains of, this is tough,
Imbabura, yeah.
A province in the northern Andes that is home to the Otavalo people, known for their handicrafts.
Oh, that word wasn't Japanese. I assumed it was Japanese, but it's not.
Now they're in the Andes Mountains. Known for their handcrafts and textiles. This is a mouthful to read. Tupac Amaru, director and producer of the 9-minute film, said the movie is part of an effort to maintain Otavalo customs and language, which began to erode as globalization created a more interconnected world and influenced their culture. I love how I'm reading and you're the voice actor.
I was actually thinking, like, I don't know why we're getting you to read it.
Yeah. No, this
and
is
I
great.
Was also thinking about the fact that they did just say this film was produced by Tupac.
What? Tupac! Oh my gosh! He's alive!
He's alive and making anime.
Of course. What nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
Tupac. Oh, man. His people face two options: lock ourselves out from the world and defend our culture, language, spirituality, and clothing, or stand tall and fight back, Amaru said. What are they fighting? Who are they fighting?
Oppression.
Okay.
Probably.
So fight through anime.
I mean...
Well, that was a Tupac quote. Tupac famously rapped about anime.
Yeah.
In his raps.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, nobody knew it at the time, but no. Tupac was, like, he's really nerdy.
And he's a Otavalo person. No, what? I'm sorry.
Otavalo.
No.
Otavalo.
Otavalo. Otavalo,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was close. Otavalo.
I was correct. And you were like, no.
Otavalo. The film with 12 Quechua-speaking characters is a first step in trying to get Otavalo children to appreciate their heritage, he said. Indigenous themes have been explored before in short and feature-length films produced in Peru and Ecuador, but most of those films have had Spanish-speaking characters. Quechua is the vibration that gives meaning to existence, and without the language, the meaning of life and our energy comes to an end, Amaru said. Our children no longer know Quechua, which means they have lost a communication tool and are losing their sense of belonging, their energy, he added. Quechua, an indigenous language that is part of the Quechua language family, of course, is primarily spoken in Ecuador. There's so many hard words to pronounce.
I think we've got enough of the gist. And I've also realized now that you've read this story, I have no idea what scene we're going to do.
No.
Without making fun of people from Ecuador, yeah. Which I'm not up for.
No, we don't have to make fun of them.
No.
I mean, I would
also prefer not to impersonate them.
I've just butchered every language, every name in their whole language.
So what, do we improvise a scene about two white guys trying to pronounce Ecuadorian names while producing a film?
I mean, I was going to say maybe there is some white guy they're working with who's just like,
I mean, clueless. Probably.
But then it's just.
But the other option is to go hard in the other direction. Two white guys trying to produce an anime film about white guy culture. Bro culture.
That just sounds wrong.
It sounds awful, and that's why I'm interested.
Protecting white culture?
No. I wasn't going to word it about protecting white culture.
That's what they're doing, is they're creating anime.
We don't have to protect. It could just be a film about, like, crypto bros making anime, which unfortunately is kind of more common than you might expect. People really? Who made a bunch of money from crypto, and now they're like, I'm going to make an anime film.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what this...
That's not what this is about. This is that information what... I'm sharing from my experience in the world.
Are you telling me that Hayao Miyazaki is a crypto bro?
Hayao Miyazaki is definitely not a crypto bro.
You sure?
And he has definitely made his stance on AI very public that he is against it.
AI is different from crypto.
Yeah, but I feel like it's the same people that are, like, pushing both, you know? All the crypto bros, when they found out there wasn't any money in it, became AI bros, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
People who are obsessed with the tech stack.
Okay. So we're just going to roast tech people?
Is there anything better to do?
No, there's honestly not. But this has nothing to do with the article.
I mean, it kind of does, but also I don't really know what more we can take from the article without, like, potentially being very disrespectful to at least one, potentially two cultures that are not ours.
Do you think Tupac will forgive us?
I hope so.
Just wait.
I do not want to get on that guy's bad side.
The film also includes characters such as Ayaruku, which represents an indomitable spirit. Ayawa, a representation of the sublime and the feminine, and Ayaku, a child symbolizing tenderness. These characters play the traditional instruments, then stomp their feet as part of a rhythmic dance as they enter a dark cavern. Just like AI. Just like crypto, which symbolizes globalization, where the spirits give them the mission of becoming new seeds of their people. The film shows an indigenous grandfather talking to his granddaughter, who promises her elder she will become a woman strong as a rock and a defender of their culture. Her grandfather then asks her to never stray away from that path. The team behind We're Aya hopes to release more films and even video games in Quechua in the coming years, and even enter the international video game market. With games made by Quechuas in a Quechua environment, said Malkik Anarango, the film's creative director.
Why didn't they say what any of the games are?
I don't know. You got to get in on that. Can you speak
Quechua?
Quechua?
No.
Better start learning.
I mean, clearly there's not many resources, otherwise they wouldn't have to teach it to their own people.
They should watch the anime.
I actually would.
Yeah?
That sounds sick. I'm not going to lie, I would fully... like.
Do
I'm
it and report
probably going to look it up
Do it.
Later.
Do it. Do it and report back.
I will.
Tupac.
Anime made by Tupac in Quechua.
Tupac's anime. All right. No, so let's see. So these people are living in the Andes Mountains.
Right.
That's cool. Imagine.
That's also not something I know anything about. I've heard of the Andes.
Yeah. I mean, but think of your solution to a problem is creating anime. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, actually.
Like, what if I had trouble, you know, I was procrastinator and I just made an anime about it? It just never got made.
So I see where you're going. However, I do feel like the fact that you're procrastinating and then you choose to make an anime instead of doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing is kind of having the opposite effect to what they're doing, where the anime is helping them solve their problem. In this case, the anime would be helping you make your problem worse.
Yeah, and also procrastination is my own doing. It's not exactly...
Yeah. I was thinking more about what other problems could we solve with anime, as in, like, how can we use anime to solve world hunger? Or how could we use anime to stop wars?
Stop boredom. No.
How can we use anime to stop global warming?
This is an interesting point, is a lot of things in improv... A lot of things in real life are not depicted in improv. And one of those is indigenous peoples.
Mm.
I mean, how often have you ever seen an improv scene with an indigenous person? Never. Never. And I totally understand, like, you don't want to appropriate the culture. But it's also...
I mean, I have. It's just that usually the people playing those characters are...
themselves indigenous.
Indigenous people.
Oh, you have? Okay. In Australia?
No, just at festivals, I guess, mainly. Well, I mean...
It looks like you're lying.
Also online. Yeah, when I... Particularly watching, like, stuff online sometimes, stuff out of America. The very least, like, indigenous probably isn't the right word. But, for example, like, when people play characters of a very specific culture, like characters with like a very specifically Latin American background or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've only ever seen that done by people who are part of that culture.
Okay.
And at risk of calling it out, when I was in the Sofia Festival this year, there was one moment where a scene was started, that the inspiration for the scene was India, or in Indian as a language, I think, maybe. Something like that. I can't remember. And obviously, the intention, because the person who yelled it out was from the country of India, that it was the country of India.
Right.
But when the scene was started, it was very clear that they were intentionally misinterpreting it to mean American Indian.
Ah, okay.
And there was a Canadian in the show who basically said, no, if we're doing this, I'm not going to be part of this scene, which I thought was a very respectful choice. And then while they technically did continue doing the scene, they kind of did it in what I thought was a clever way, in that they kept going with the American Indian thing, the Native American thing, and then sort of ended this very short opening with, are you offended? Yes. And then that was where it was cut.
Hmm. Interesting. I really like the idea of playing around with difficult topics, because I think it's, there's ways to do it that are smart. For example, you can have a scene involving indigenous peoples in a way where you're not necessarily acting as an indigenous person or interacting with indigenous people. I mean, there's, many white people who work to protect indigenous people or support them or what have you. And I think this is a smart way to incorporate scenes that depict real life, because they are part of our world, without actually like trying to be an indigenous person character.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think there's ways that the topic can be involved in the scene or anything.
I mean, traditionally in theater in general, a lot of these groups were underrepresented, right? So, like, if you take the breadth of theater or characters on stage or in movies, you know, there is not so much minorities represented, and one of those is indigenous peoples. And it's changing in Hollywood, but in theater, it's still quite...
Yeah, I guess the other thing is the concern for me, at least, is if I personally am not overly familiar with that particular culture, trying too hard to incorporate it in a particular way has me worried that I would misrepresent it, because I don't have enough information to go off of. And if it's, you know, a made up culture, then there's nothing to misrepresent. But if it's an actual real culture that exists, and I offhandedly say, like, oh, we do things this way, and that ends up being something that could be taken the wrong way unintentionally, that's not something I would want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. And anything can be taken the wrong way unintentionally. It's always an interesting debate between avoiding things or sort of how to tackle them.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess for me, like, I'm fully up for tackling them as long as I'm working with someone that I trust who has that, like, an actual, you know, connection to that culture or, you know, not even just culture, like, things like going too deep into certain topics related to sexuality or gender.
I got you. Ready? You ready?
Yep.
Cold start. Ready? You guys ready? All right. Dude, did you hear about this new anime? It's the new anime by Hayao Miyazaki. You know,
new anime by Hayao Miyazaki, the director of Studio Ghibli in Japan?
Yeah, totally. Or like he inspired this one from it's Tupac. This guy.
Holy shit, Tupac made an anime?
Yeah, dude, he made an anime.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
He's so good at rapping and at killing people.
No, it's like a different Tupac. It's a Tupac of the Otavalo people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I've never even heard of that group of people before today.
Yeah, dude, they're from the Andes. Hold on. They're from the Andes Mountains.
Wow. That's probably close to where we live. I'm also from America.
America's a continent, dude. It's not a country.
Oh, sorry. I'm from the United States of America. The America within America.
Oh, okay.
Americaception.
Cool. Dude, this anime is about an indigenous grandfather talking to his granddaughter who promises her elder she will become a woman strong as a rock and a defender of their culture. Her grandfather then asks her to never stray away from that path.
Oh, my God. My grandpa never talked to me. He died of alcoholism when I was 6.
Dude, do you not want to talk about the anime?
I do. And I just thought it was interesting that they were representing a grandfather talking to his granddaughter and inspiring her, because my granddad never did that for me.
Dude, it's cool that, like...
He was an alcoholic.
That's sad.
I know.
What does alcoholic mean?
He got really drunk and then died.
What?
Yeah.
Drunk on what? Water?
Spirits.
What is that?
The methylated kind.
Like stuff you put in your car?
Stuff, yeah, and clean windows with.
Oh, that's methylone. No, that's ethanol.
I don't know, man. I'm 12.
Oh. Same, dude. Dude.
This anime sounds so cool and so different from our culture.
If AI created 12-year-old kids. Whoa! Let's watch this anime! This is gonna be so cool!
It's gonna be the best because it's interesting, but it's also different.
Exactly how 12-year-olds sound. That's, I mean... Yeah, and 12-year-olds who love Tupac.
Are we still in the scene?
Are we?
You didn't cut yet.
I don't know... It was better in my head. It was better in my...
I think it was pretty good.
End scene.
We had to make sure the end scene was after we said that we think the scene is pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah. I just loved our 12-year-old characters.
Yeah.
Or the least realistic 12-year-olds.
12-year-old from California in a 90s commercial. Yeah.
I think if my grandmother wrote a script for 2 12-year-olds, that's... those are the words she'd use. Dude, I love Tupac. Oh, man.
I actually love that character. I'm going to bring that character back.
What's his name? Let's hear about him.
My name is Jared.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hi, Jared. I want to know more about you. Where do you live?
I live in upstate California.
Right. And
Sacramento.
And do you always speak that way?
I do. So, I only grew up by watching 90s commercials on TV, and this is the only way I know how to talk.
So, and what's your name?
Jared.
So, Jared, tell me about your favorite toy.
My favorite toy is Ball in a Cup. It's a ball, and it's a cup, and you try to get the ball in the cup, and then you win.
All right, Jared, thank you. Now tell me how you add two numbers.
Well, you take the first number, and then you take the second number, and then you increase the second number by the amount of the first number. And then you get the third number, and that's addition.
Jared, thank you. Have you ever been to a funeral?
Yeah, my granddad, he died of alcoholism.
And how was that? Did you cry?
I did. It was very sad.
I did. It was very sad. Once you mentioned 90s commercial, I was like locked in on the, like, two kids with playing with Nerf guns.
Yes.
And they're like way too excited about it, you know?
Like, that's exactly who this guy is.
All right, Jared, what's your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject is PE because I get to be physically educated.
Jared, do you like school, and why do you always sit in the first row?
I like school because I get to hang out with my friends, but sometimes teachers can be dumb. But that's okay, because I'm learning, and learning is good for your future.
What's the catchphrase you always say? Learning is cool?
Learning is good for the future.
You heard it here first, folks. Learning
is good for the future.
Jared, do you have any hobbies?
I do. Other than ball in a cup and math, I also like to go surfing. I have a surfboard that's appropriate for my height size. That means it's easier to balance.
And Jared, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you don't discuss any taboo topics at all.
I can try, but I have to do it in a way that's appropriate for kids' TV.
So if you were what's your take on Tupac?
I think Tupac, to be honest, I don't think I know about as much about Tupac as I may have implied earlier in this episode.
But I think you can make some stuff up.
But I'm pretty sure he killed a guy, which probably means he's a bad person. You shouldn't kill. That's bad for the environment.
That's why you shouldn't kill?
Yeah, we gotta save the plants, bro.
Yeah, you know, every 12-year-old, very environmentally conscious.
Not in the 90s we weren't, but right. Now, very much so.
Oh, so you're not, what decade do you live in again, Jared?
I live in 2025, the current year that this is being recorded, but my entire personality and way of speaking comes from commercials from the 90s.
Got it. And do you like Nickelodeon? Do you like slime?
That's the only thing I could ever watch. It's so cool when they drop the slime on the celebrity and they're not expecting it.
Jared, I'm going to give you a situation, okay? You have a crush on a girl, and you just asked her out, and she turned you down. Now she's actually making fun of you around school. You confront her. How does that conversation go?
Jesse, you're being a total bummer. I'd really appreciate if you could stop saying bad stuff about me to our classmates. It helps me keep an amicable relationship with all the people in the school. And that's better for me and for you, because if I'm popular, I can help you also be popular. Let's be friends. I respect you for turning me down.
That's the first 12-year-old who used the word amicable. Amicable? Isn't it amicable?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm 12.
That's so accurate. You probably learned it as a vocabulary word and mispronounced it. Okay. Genius. Well, Jesse just doubled down. She stomped you on your heart. She's now posting pictures and spreading false rumors about you around the school.
Jesse, this is a total bummer, and I'd hate to have to get the police involved.
Yeah, every 12-year-old threatening to call the police to handle their issues. That's okay.
Well, she is doing stuff that's technically illegal if she's spreading misinformation on the internet. That's a crime in most places.
So you are saying that you're...
I would call it defamation. Yeah.
12-year-old legal expert. So you're saying that you're hurt by her. Or do you feel, what emotions do you feel?
Honestly, I'm not even angry. I'm just disappointed. I respected her, and that's why I asked her out. But now she's let me down, and that's not cool.
I can interview this character all day.
I could be this character all day.
I just want a new podcast. We're just going to interview this character.
Interviews with Jared.
Interviews with Jared, and we're going to ask him the most philosophical. Jared, to be or not to be?
Well, I think that depends on your perspective. If you're contributing good to society, then you should be. But if you're doing bad stuff and not contributing to society, then I don't think you should be. I think I'm starting to realize that I'm in favor of capital punishment.
Yeah. Jared, I have a lot more questions for you, but it might get you in trouble. So
that last one is probably one that I should be a little concerned about.
Jared, have you heard of the dilemma, you know, where if you're driving a car and you have to swerve one way or swerve the other way?
You're not referring to the trolley dilemma.
The trolley dilemma,
the one
exactly.
Where you pull the lever.
Yeah.
To save one person, save lots of people, but potentially kill one different person.
Yeah, that one. We'll use bunnies. So if you're driving a trolley and you pull the lever to potentially kill five bunnies, or didn't pull the lever to definitely kill one bunny.
I think you got it the other way around. It's either I do nothing and kill five bunnies, or I pull the lever and save five bunnies but kill one other bunny.
Did I just screw it up? Have you heard of the trolley dilemma where you could potentially kill five bunnies, or you pull a lever and you potentially kill five bunnies? It's such a dilemma.
Honestly, I'm pretty decided on this one. I would pull the lever and kill the one bunny.
Okay.
It'd be unfortunate, but I think it's better to save more lives than to not do anything, refuse to act on your own personal beliefs, and kill multiple people.
Jared, it sounds like you've thought about this for a while.
I actually have. The trolley dilemma is one that comes up quite a lot. I go to a strange school.
Yeah. I can tell. What's the name of your school, Jared?
James Wood High.
James Wood High?
I think that's the school from Family Guy.
And you're in high school at 12 years old.
Yeah.
What, yeah.
I got put in school early because I was a high achiever.
Ah, right. You're a high achiever. Yeah, yeah. No, you never get in trouble. You never even curse. That's impressive.
I'm not allowed to because that wouldn't be appropriate for American kids TV.
Right. Which is really surprising that you know so much about Tupac.
I watched a documentary.
Right, okay. And it had a lot of bleep words in it.
It did. I wonder why they bleep so much when they talk. Based on my personal life experience, I don't know what words could go in that bleeped space. But many of them start with F.
Jared, are you a virgin?
Of course, I'm 12.
Yeah, that's true. That's.
I don't know what other answer you could have possibly expected.
How long are you going to be a virgin? I guess you can't know.
I hope not forever. I would like to have three children because I think that's the appropriate amount to contribute to society for the sustainability of our economy.
I want to hear Jared when he's like 19 going on his first date, or like like when he has his first relationship with a girl, big time relationship.
So is that the scene that we're playing now, Jared on his first date?
Well, now he can't be 12 anymore, so.
No, he can be 19.
Okay, we're aging? Okay. Fast forward, what?
Seven years.
7 years. 7 years. Whoosh. Does that do something? Whoosh. Whoosh. Okay, fast forward 7 years. Hey, Jared.
Hi, thanks for coming to Papa John's with me.
Why do you talk that way?
I was raised on kids' TV, mostly Nickelodeon.
Jared, you took me to Papa John's for our first date?
I did. I'm 19. I don't have much money.
Jared, you're such a loser.
That's not a very nice thing to say. You're the one who agreed to come on this date with me, Courtney.
It was only a dare because my friends were like, yeah, just go on a date with that loser, Jared.
Well, I think that's pretty disrespectful to my feelings. If you were a person with appropriate social morals, you would have heard that from your friend and gone, hey, that's not cool. Jared's a real person. You shouldn't go on a date with him as a dare because that would be inappropriate and might hurt his feelings. Consider my feelings hurt.
Jared, have you ever done anything wrong?
I don't know what you mean. What's wrong? Killing someone? No.
Jared, do you shower with your clothes on in the gym?
I do, because I'm not allowed to see nudity.
Even your own?
Even my own. I've never been naked. I don't know what's underneath my underwear. It could be like a Ken doll for all I know.
How do you use the bathroom?
I have a funnel.
What?
Where does it go?
It goes under the underwear, and then there's a tube that comes out that's a very U.S. Kids TV appropriate color, and it goes into the toilet.
I can't even be Courtney. This is too much fun. Jared, it's been nice meeting you. I'm going to go.
I appreciate the respectful rejection. Have a good day.
You're such a weirdo. Oh my gosh.
Jared's starting to feel a little bit bad about his life.
No, please give me Alec back.
You're the one who kept this going for so long. I was like fully ready to drop it, and you're like, no, let's age him up so that we can see him in more situations.
There's so much more to juice from this, but I it's like
I don't think this is the last we'll see.
I don't think
Jared.
This is the last we'll see of Jared. All our 6 viewers out there, if you want to see more of Jared, you can
get in the comments. Tell us how much you love Jared.
Yeah. No, it's like something you like playing with, but you can only take 5 minutes of it. And then
kind of,
you're
kind of like ice cream. And then it's delicious, yeah. But you can only have one, and then you gotta stop.
And then you're absolutely repulsed. Like another lick, and you're just not. That's maybe a bad analogy.
That wouldn't be appropriate. Okay, no.
See, I'm actively vomiting right now. We also need a PG version of Jared, an 18 and over version of Jared.
A PG-13, an R-rated version of Jared.
No, not an R-rated version of Jared, but I mean, I don't want to put a 12-year-old kid, I don't want
to... Oh, you just mean Jared when he's old enough to
I don't want to speak with a 12-year-old character every time.
I think Jared can be any age you want, depending on the scene you want to play.
And he never changes, I think, and that's what we love about him.
Much like kids' TV, it ages up and down depending on the situation.
I wonder where those kids are now. Do you think there's any real-life Jareds? Like, they were cast for a commercial, and they just never...
It's like those kids who, like, literally did nothing but sit in front of the TV all day, every day, and started talking like that.
Or what if you got, like, some kids to do a 90s commercial, and you were like, okay, guys, you're going to talk about the product, but you're going to be really excited about it. And they coached the first 2 kids on the product, and the third one was Jared. And so the first 2 kids, they were like, okay, you guys have to be positive and speak really clearly and loud. And the kids were like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then they get to Jared, and he was like, what are the instructions? I'm so ready to talk about how much I love Nerf guns. And he outdid the adults. He's like, that word you have in the script could be a little offensive. Maybe we should replace it.
It's like one of those people who have some people who have really, really deep voices and end up in like movie trailers.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
just the way that they talk is like, and I'm talking normally, but I talk like this because my voice is so low. And he's just like that, but explicitly for kids' commercials. Yeah.
Jared, oh man. Wait, also, why did Jared have such a deep voice? Like, did he not hit puberty?
To be honest, I said he's like in kids' commercials. I guess he's 12. He could have hit puberty.
Yeah.
But But also, like, he has kind of the same vibes of like adult talking to kids in a kids' commercial.
Yeah.
I think.
But the kids sound like that too. They sound really creepily clean, you know? It's like, we were never like that growing up.
I guess so. I feel like kids in kids commercials actually still definitely sounded like kids, though.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, I guess it's been a while since the 90s.
But he's, to be he's a kid who, he was 12, puberty hit him early, and it hit him hard.
He was both the kid and the adult in the commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
They were money saving.
He just played every role.
He played every role. Oh, man.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of our episode. This
Jared
special.
Jared, can I just get you to announce that the episode is over?
Hi, everybody. I'm letting you know that this is the end of Heightening Headlines, Improvising the News. I'm Jared, and I'm here to tell you that you're cool. Bye.
Bye.
Scene. Thanks for listening to Heightening Headlines. Tune in next week for more.